This is a message that I feel is important and one that that is helpful, I believe, for the entire congregation. Men's Retreat, this will be our 10th year coming this November. And for 10 years, I've preached at Men's Retreat on different themes related to men, the marks of manliness, and the things and ways in which we as men can grow and be strengthened and lead our families and lead in the church. And they're messages that usually are primarily applicable to men, and I haven't brought those back and preached them to the congregation. This one is one that I believe would be profitable for us to examine. We are seeking to encourage the church to grow in the area of wisdom as Christians, and that we would be a congregation that doesn't just have a few people that are capable of having a certain amount of knowledge to be able to teach others. Now, very clearly, James chapter 3 says, "Be not many teachers, for theirs is a greater condemnation." And when we jump back into James very shortly, that will be the passage that we pick up on. And it is true that God doesn't want everyone to be a teacher. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want everyone to be a diligent learner, to be one who grows in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And there are things that we are trying to do and implement in our church in that realm in several different ways as far as building up the body of Christ. Some may say, you know, what is your discipleship method? I would say, and this is not just cliche, I believe this with all of my heart, the most important discipleship that goes on is the Lord's Day morning and evening preaching and teaching of the Word, and the time that we have with one another after and before the service, praying for one another, building one another up. But that's not the end, that's only the beginning. But that is important. Some may think everyone needs a, you know, a lot of times churches have a model where everybody has their niche or their niche or their niche, however you want to say the word. There is debate amongst intellectuals on how to say that word. Whether you have a bent towards the kind of menu options of in the church, I need to have a discipleship for, like, I'm kind of a cowboy, so I need a cowboy discipleship class. And somebody else says, well, I need a class for, you know, middle-aged women because I can't learn in any other context except for the middle-aged women discipleship class. That is, I think, a poor view of discipleship and a very modern perspective on how discipleship takes place. And I believe that discipleship takes place as we gather together as a body, the men, the women, the children, all who can hear with understanding at different levels and in different ways are built up in the body. And that from that, the other things that we might do augment that, but it doesn't make a miracle realm of like a miracle answer to discipleship. It is really from the congregational time in the Word. It goes to both our personal time in the Word as well as with maybe a small group of believers as we grow in grace together, and then even just one-on-one where older women are teaching younger women and older men are teaching younger men, not necessarily biological age older, but older spiritually, that we develop relationships one with another where we can ask questions and get answers that we have need of. But don't underestimate the power and the influence of the times of preaching and teaching in the church that God has for us throughout our lifetime following Christ. And this is very important. But we also believe not only is it when we gather together that men grow and women grow in the grace of God, we believe it also takes place in your personal lives. And let's just say that it does take place, that it must take place in your personal lives. And so tonight, I want to teach on the subject of seeking wisdom, men and women seeking the wisdom of God. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is one of the books of wisdom literature, and it is a book filled with wisdom. I want to have you listen very carefully. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. We find many of the ways in which men and women, boys and girls, are discipled right here. A lot of it is in regards to the family. It says, "Hear ye," verse 1 of Proverbs 4, "hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," the "her" here being wisdom, "and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Father, I pray you'd bless tonight as we open your word, as we seek to know the wisdom of God that is called here the principal thing. Therefore, we are to get wisdom, and to get wisdom is to get understanding. And I pray, Father, that we would all see the desperate need in our times to be a people who are discerning, who are spiritually mature, who seek the wisdom that is from above, that learn both from their father and mother, as Proverbs says in chapter number 1 and many other places, as well as here in chapter 4. And that we would not only learn this from our hopefully our Christian parents, but maybe we didn't have that. Lord, help us to see that there are spiritual fathers and mothers that abound in this church that need to have opportunity to invest in spiritual children through discipling them and nurturing them in the ways of God. Help us to be a congregation that is looking for opportunities to invest the truth of God's word into the lives of the people that are around us. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The scripture says clearly, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is something that is desirable. In the scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, for instance, there are two ladies that are spoken of. And this is in the same way that a ship might have been called a lady, or by a feminine term. This is not to be offensive to you ladies. But in the scriptures, there is referenced two ladies in the book of Proverbs. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. They are opposite one the other. We are prone to fall into the trap of Lady Folly. Both men and women are prone to fall into the trap of Lady Folly. And yet God wants us to strive for and to seek out Lady Wisdom, to follow her ways, to follow the ways that bring blessing in our life and not cursing. In the scriptures, wisdom is something that is spoken about frequently. If you read the Proverbs on a regular basis, maybe you're reading through the Bible, you're using the Bible reading plan that many are using in the church, or maybe you're reading a proverb a day, it's just a part of your custom, you will come across the importance of seeking wisdom over and over and over again. Even if it doesn't use the word wisdom, it is a book about getting wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. Another word for that would be the primary thing. The most important thing is get wisdom. Lexham Bible Dictionary defines wisdom from a biblical standpoint. Biblical wisdom refers to the practical skills associated with understanding and living a successful life. Wisdom in the scriptures is not just kind of knowledge that has no purpose but to puff up. Wisdom is about learning how to live in a way pleasing to God. The common word, Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, refers to wisdom as the common Hebrew word for wisdom. I'm going to bomb this, but chokmah, which can be also be rendered skill, experience, shrewdness, or prudence. It can have a different usage, and the word changes slightly from the Hebrew, and it means to be wise or to act wisely. We are to be a people who grow in wisdom and understanding so that we might have good success. Now, when you think success, if you think in the eyes of the world, if you think success and you just think dollar signs, you are missing out. Okay? God can give people blessings. He can give them monetary riches, and it is a wise thing to leave an inheritance to your children's children. We can look at all those things, but the principal thing, according to God, is not to get rich. The principal thing, according to God, is to get wisdom. That is the principal thing. International Bible Encyclopedia says about wisdom in the Bible, the most common technical terms for wisdom, both from the Hebrew chokmah and the Greek sophia, we know that beautiful name that a lot of young ladies are named, means wisdom in the New Testament from the Greek. Alongside these expressions exist a wide variety of other words and phrases that express the same or related ideas because the understanding, because of the settings or the semantic field of the terms is not historically constant. For that reason, synonyms and related wisdom vocabulary vary throughout the biblical tradition. A full appreciation of the significance of wisdom in the Bible depends on recognition of the historic complexity, or meaning the historic, even the genre where it's coming from, why it would be seen as wisdom. We are searching for biblical wisdom, wisdom according to God's word. Another definition, wisdom is the ability to direct one's mind toward a full understanding of human life and toward its full moral fulfillment. Wisdom is thus a special capacity necessary for full human living, and it can be acquired through education and application of the mind, namely the education from the Word of God, and from there branching out into other areas and other realms. God wants us to be a people who grow in wisdom. You might say, well, I finished school back when I finished high school. I finished school after I got my bachelor's degree. I finished school after I got my master's degree or my doctorate, and I was done. You have a wrong perspective about wisdom, about learning, about understanding. If you're 40 today and you think back to when you were 18, if that's when, or maybe all of us should think, as a 40-year-old, if you think back to what an average 18-year-old knows and believes and does, even though at 18 you know everything, I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek, I was 18 once, right? You have a grasp on things frequently. You have a feeling of knowledge. You are an adult now. Hey, I know what I'm going to do. I know how things are going to go. I've got it figured out. And at 40, you realize I've spent the last 22 years of my life realizing that I don't know everything that I thought I knew at 18. Now think about being 18, and think about at 18, if you thought, I finished high school, therefore all of my searching for knowledge and wisdom is done, school is over, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. Think of how messed up your life would be. And then realize that that's honestly how a lot of people live. Now, the reproachful thing is when Christians who come to faith, when people who come to faith in Jesus Christ, through the Word of God being taught to them, through faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that God has written a book and God speaks through His book and He speaks to His people and He brings them from darkness to light. They're not meant to just stay at that state of saying, well, I know that I've believed. I know that I've come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's good to know that, but He's given us an entire book called the Bible that for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to stay where we were when we first came to know the Lord. Just like He doesn't want you, if you're 18, to say, I know it all, I'm going to stop learning. He wants us to continue to grow in the grace of knowledge. He wants us to continue to be curious about things, to learn about things, to grow in things. Some of you may say, well, I read the Bible once. Great. Do you think after reading the Bible once, you know all that it teaches? You might say, well, I know the general theme of the Bible. I know the general story of the Bible. I'm saying, do you know all that God has taught us in His Word? And I would submit to you the answer is absolutely not. If you read a proverb a day, and this is not to, I'm not stating this as a religious thing to do, that you must do. If you read a proverb a day, if you're anything like me in reading the Proverbs, I'll be in the Proverbs and it'll seem like I've never read this verse in my life before, even though I've read it hundreds of times. And the reason is because God works through His Spirit and illuminates His Word as we study it, and He shows us things that are there that we now have understanding of because He has blessed us in that way. God is for wisdom. He is not opposed to it. You can have two extremes in the culture. You can have those who are anti-intellectual. They think intellectualism is bad. They think wisdom is bad. They think study is bad. And you can have those who make wisdom and study and intellectual pursuits a god. Both of those are wrong. But the Bible does say the principal thing is to get wisdom. You know that in the Scriptures, God has given to us several books completely dedicated to wisdom. They're called the wisdom literature. Their whole genre is about imparting wisdom. The books of Job, Proverbs, Psalms, portions of Psalms, the book of Ecclesiastes, and many portions within the prophets are all under the banner of wisdom literature. And they're there to help us to grow in the wisdom of God. Today, March the 6th, 2016, is one day that God has given to you to grow in wisdom. Let me encourage you with something. Next year, on March the 6th, 2017, if you still have life and breath and health, if you're obeying the Word of God, you should have grown in your wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it is what will bring good success in your life. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? If you have the mindset in your life that the thing I want to get is money, or the thing I want to get is famous, we have people in the culture today, they just want to be famous. That's why many of the most popular TV shows are all about how to become famous. People get famous because of YouTube clips, and people get famous because of their moment, you know, doing some unique thing. And all that matters is that lots of people saw it, and now I'm famous. They want to be America's next well-known singer, or whatever the case may be. And it's all about fame, or it's all about fortune. It's all about the notoriety. And yet God says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? How much better to get understanding than chosen silver? How much better is understanding rather to be chosen than silver? If you're a businessman or pursuing your future career, if your goal is to get rich, you may obtain it, but you will not obtain that which is most important, and that is to get wisdom. Solomon, who's the author of the book of Proverbs in Scripture, almost all of them, he is one who, when he was given the opportunity to ask for whatever he would want, like a genie in the bottle giving a wish, the thing that he asked for as a new king was for the wisdom of God to discern between good and bad. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for fortune. He didn't ask for, you know, 700 wives and 300 concubines. We know the story of Solomon. What he asked for was wisdom. In 2 Chronicles, we see when the kingdom was passed from David to Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, the end of of 1 Chronicles is when David is preparing for the building of the temple, and he brings all of the supplies, and he asks for the people to pray for Solomon, his son who is young and tender, who needs the help of God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse number 7, the scripture says, "In the night did God appear unto Solomon, and he said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." Ask for whatever you want. "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches or wealth or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee also riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." What did Solomon desire? Of all the things that he could have had, he asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. He asked for the help to be a great king, to go out amongst the people, to come in amongst the people, and to be able to make righteous judgments. That's the spirit that he's teaching in Proverbs when he says the principal thing is to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God blessed him. So, well, I don't want to be proud asking God for wisdom. He wants you to. Being proud is to say, "Lord, make me healthy, wealthy, and wise." Say, well, what's wrong with being healthy or wealthy or what? Well, the last one is the most important. You know what wisdom can bring? Well, if you read the book of Proverbs, wisdom can bring good health. Can it? There's scriptures in the book of Proverbs that talk about how to have good health, both physically and spiritually, emotionally. All different ways in which that health can come. But it doesn't come because you have money. How about the kind of health that you would have from staying away from the wrong kind of relationships? Well, that's found there in the Proverbs. And what about wealth? Is there anything about making wealth in the book of Proverbs or the rest of the wisdom literature or the scriptures for that matter? Absolutely there is. It says, labor not to be rich. It also says, in all labor there is profit. You merge the two together. You understand the wise man knows he needs to work hard, and he needs to work hard to do a good job and to produce a good product or whatever he might do. And his end goal is not so that he can become rich. It's to do something that is profitable, to do something that is good. And in because of that, God prospers him and gives him wealth and riches and honor. That's God's business. But that's not the pursuit. The pursuit ultimately is wisdom. It's not health and wealth. It's the wisdom of God. And he can bring those other things to pass. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, even his father David. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. Think about that. What did he seek after? He sought after wisdom. And the scriptures are very clear. A wise man's true strength is in his wisdom. It's not in his physical might. It's in the wisdom that he obtains. Proverbs 24, verse Proverbs 24. Says, be not a, verse 1 says, be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. This isn't just talking about building a structure, right? This is talking about building a household, or building a business, or building a family, building a church. This is not talking about structures physically. This is talking about that which is inside of it. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. This doesn't say, a wise man's going to be a physically strong specimen. It's not talking about that. It's saying if you have wisdom, then you have the true kind of strength that matters. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now listen to this next verse, verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He deviseth to do evil. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. And the thought of the foolish is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. Seek to be a man or a woman of strength by seeking the wisdom of God. Lady Wisdom builds her house. What does Lady Folly do? She plucketh it down with her hands. Wisdom builds things. Foolishness destroys things. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. She can bring destruction to her very own house. Now, this is true of a man as well, in a different context, but it's true. Wisdom helps us build up things. Foolishness helps us pluck things down. Think about in the raising of your children, how easy is it for us as parents that we could destroy the hearts of our children. We can pluck them to pieces with foolishness in the way in which we treat them. Or we can use wisdom and build up our children. We do the same thing with our marriage. We do the same thing in our church. We need to be those who follow the advice of God and follow Lady Wisdom, who builds her house. And not be the foolish woman who plucks it down with her hands. Proverbs 24, verse 5, the scripture that I just read says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Now, this is something that's interesting. As we grow as men and women in age, we may weaken physically. We may lose stamina, but we can grow greater still in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God doesn't judge a man's strength by how much he can bench press.
He doesn't? What do you mean? This is news to me.
Right? Now think about that. As just one little illustration. The person who spends all of their time, money, resources to have the best, fitness. They spend hours and hours a day in getting the perfect abs and the best biceps and the most amazing pectoral muscles you've ever seen. They look like they should be a picture on the front cover of Muscle magazine. They spend hours and hours doing that. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars doing that. And once they stop, they just look like a beach ball that deflated. It doesn't last. Seriously. Watch a parade of, you know, retired sports, professional sports athletes. Once they're done, it usually doesn't last because they did it for a reason. You know what the reality is in life? We oftentimes invest in things. It may not be lifting weights. It may not be in, you know, becoming the most amazing athlete. And I'm not against weightlifting. I'm not against sports. Please don't take us in the wrong extreme. I'm saying the time we'll invest in that to gain something. And yet, oftentimes when it's talked about as far as the importance of pursuing wisdom, that means, hey, we encourage you to read your Bible. Study God's Word. Crack open a book. A book? What's that? And we think, this is horrible. I don't have the time for this. But the same person had time for 3 hours a day of, whoo, look at me. They didn't mind pursuing something they wanted, but they pursued something that didn't have lasting effect. But if you pursue the wisdom of God, it endures not just in this life. Here's the thing, beloved. The things that God gives us as far as wisdom is concerned, they don't just last until our memory fades. The investments we've made with our wisdom into people's lives, sharing the gospel, encouraging people in counseling or just discipling, that goes on for eternity. Those are rewards that are enduring. They're better than gold, than fine silver. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. That is where a man's true strength is. It's not found in our physical strength. There's nothing wrong with being strong. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the kind of manly or womanly strength that God gives us. And the Bible talks about that as being a glorious thing as well. The young man's strength. The old man's hoary head. But let it not be our focus. Next Lord's Day, I want to open up the scripture. I would keep going tonight, but we want to lead into the Lord's Supper. But next Lord's Day, I'm going to talk about ways in which we can seek wisdom, both from the Word and from valuable resources that God has given to us, of books that God gives to us, even outside of the Bible, that can help us to grow in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray tonight in just this teaching, this admonition, that we would be men and women, boys and girls who desire to seek the wisdom of God, that Lady Wisdom we would recognize is something to be pursued, and Lady Folly is very clearly something to be avoided, to be run from. And I pray, God, that you'd help us. Help us as a people to not be spiritual infants, even though we've been born again for 20 years. Help us to be mature, strong, wise, understanding Christian men and women, so that wherever we go, we are well equipped to minister, because that's what all of us are. Our church is to be a body that comes to be built up, that gathers to be worship the Lord and gathers to be equipped, and then goes and spreads out as a few hundred ministers working in submarines and in the shipyard, working in hospitals, working in homes, working in the trades, working in office complexes, working for the city and the county, all different realms of which we may be employed, and that where we go, we would remember we are first called to the vocation of a Christian, and that we are the ministers of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.